Welcome to the Compass Church podcast. We hope you enjoy this message from Pastor Phil Bray.
We want to start a new series tonight, just a mini series. It's not going to be a long series, and it really does, I think, flow on well from the series we just finished about There Is More. I hope you got something out of that. If you didn't get to hear all of those messages, I encourage you to jump on and have a listen to the podcast and maybe just revisit some of those messages that you felt God spoke to you about. I mean, Spurgeon said it's easier to preach 10 sermons than to live one out. And I think too often in church life, especially in the world in which we live, and especially with how we're just so blessed and privileged and spoiled, and we become so snobby and picky and choosy, and you know, we kind of like have so many podcasts, websites, so much great teaching out there and stuff, and it's almost like I think there is so much good about that, but I also think that one of the dangers of all of that that's available to us is that kind of we just sit back like we are, and we're just pretty much like going, okay, when's the next big thing going to hit me? Like, you know, waiting for that cliche, waiting for that one-liner, waiting for that, oh, gee, that was good, amen. Yeah, good. And we sit here and we're like, gee, good. And then we get up and walk out and we've forgotten what the good was, and we certainly don't put it into practice on Monday. And so, like, as much as I think we should listen to podcasts and we should listen to and read and all that kind of stuff, if we're actually listening and we're not actually taking notes and listening to what God's saying in the midst of the gee, good moment, and taking notes and actually applying that and putting that into action in our lives, we'll become very fat, constipated Christians that are no good to anybody. And, you know, when you're really constipated, you need a good enema. But anyway, I'm not going to talk about that. I'm just going to say, like, you know, let's not get caught in the trap of actually kind of just putting the expectation on anyone that they've got to kind of produce anything when we're not actually applying anything. Good start. Great. So we're going to go into a new series. Let me just ask you a question. Who here in your life, you're waiting for something, as in you've prayed to God about something that you would love to see happen in your life, and you believe it lines up with His Word, you believe it lines up with His plan and purpose for your life, and you ask God, and you've got this expectancy that it's going to happen, and you're waiting. Is there anyone here that you're waiting? Okay, cool. What about those of us in the room? We're waiting for something we feel that or sense that God has spoken to us about, that He's, whether it's through a prophetic word, whether it's through kind of just being in a space, a God space, and God spoke to you. He deposited something in your heart, but it hasn't come to pass yet. Okay. So, taking out those two situations, who's waiting on God for something? Okay. Let me just say that in any point in our life, we're called to live by faith, not by sight. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. That there should be at some area of our life at all times that we are living by faith. That we are trusting God to move in a way that if He doesn't come through, we're kind of stuffed. Right? That's what I believe. But also, I believe there should be, in some area of our life, there should be an element, there should be some waiting going on. There should be some waiting going on in your life, in my life. I can tell you, I could probably stand here for the next 45 minutes and tell you all the things that I'm still waiting for God to do, that I believe that He's yet to fulfill, but I am wholeheartedly believe, do not doubt, they will come to pass. I have a deep assurance and conviction of that. But if we don't have a sense of waiting in God, it means that you haven't either heard from God or you think that you don't need God to do anything in your life. Let me just tell you, you're not that good. No, seriously, I'm not that good. And I don't want to be rude or offensive tonight, but none of us, God's not finished with any of us yet. If you're sitting here and go, well, I don't need anything, that's great. But what about the 10, 20, 50 people in your world that are facing a Christless eternity? They need God to move through your life so that they can encounter the presence of God, His saving grace, and come into their own personal relationship with Him. So if you're not waiting for something in your life in God, this message is for you. If you are waiting for something in God, this message is for you. Everyone's covered. All right? So what you get out of this is up to you. But we've titled this series we're going into, Why the Wait? Why the Wait? For some of us in this room, you might like to say, why the long wait? For some of us that have been maybe Christians for a bit longer and kind of dare to dream a little bit, you might kind of like the title to be, why the flippin' long, frustrating, gut-wrenching, heartbreaking, annoying wait. We're just going to keep it simple and just say, why the wait? And the thing is, like, for me, there is no doubt for me in my relationship with God, whether it's something that I've cried out for God for, or I've sensed that God has put into my heart and life, there's generally a gap between the time that I either pray or that's deposited and the time that it's fulfilled, which is the waiting period. And so the series that we're about to go into over the next few weeks, I guess, is based on the premise that we believe that God does and he wants to speak to us, every single one of us, that God wants to speak to us. If you've never experienced God speaking to you, then I'm so excited for you, because throughout this series, I believe you're going to maybe learn some stuff that will equip and enable you to be able to hear God speak in your life. That's pretty cool. But for those of us that have heard God speak and maybe we've put it on the shelf, guess what? It's coming back at you. It's coming back at you. And so we're going to go into this series, and I just wanted to touch on it. My whole message kind of took a kind of detour yesterday afternoon as I was sort of mapping this out, and something really struck me. But we have this premise and understanding that God wants to, and he does speak to us, and that he wants to speak into our lives, into our circumstance, into our situation. He wants to speak into us the direction that we need, the wisdom that we need, the peace that we need, the strength that we need. He's got everything that we need so that we can keep moving forward in our relationship with him. He's got everything that we need. So if you've got your Bible with you, I want you to turn to one of the small little books that's towards the end of the Old Testament called Habakkuk. If you jump into Habakkuk, page 829 in my Bible. If you're not sure where it is, just go to the index, look at the Old Testament. Go to the end of the Old Testament recordings, you'll see Habakkuk's the fifth book from the end, so that'll give you some idea just before you jump into the New Testament. You'll just see it's just an obscure little book there, but so rich and powerful, broken up into three parts. The first chapter speaks of Habakkuk's frustration that the Babylonians are encroaching and God's people are probably next on their target list, and he's frustrated that God would allow these Babylonians, and even says it in chapter 1, that they would come in and they would actually bring about God's purpose. Isn't it amazing how God can sometimes allow persecution and hardship to bring about his purpose? So just because you're going through hard times and the crap has hit the fan, it doesn't mean that you're out of the will of God. So don't lose sight of that. So Habakkuk kind of has this vent, he has this rant in chapter 1. And it's okay, guess what? God's got big shoulders. He can handle your rant. He can handle your frustrations. And Habakkuk, I guess we see an insight into what great faith he had that he could actually have a conversation like that with God. And he expresses himself in chapter 1. But we're going to actually go into chapter 2, and we are going to... Well, actually, we're not going to get past verse 1. I can't see us getting past verse 1. But that's okay. Are we ready? Habakkuk chapter 2, verse 1. Let's pray. Father, thank you for who you are. Father, I just really want to just acknowledge your presence in this place tonight. Father, right now, just pray that every thought would just be held captive by the power of your Spirit. Because God, I know you're wanting to speak to hearts tonight. You want to speak life and purpose, hope, peace, strength, grace, wisdom, into people's circumstances in this room tonight before they leave. So Father, I'm just very conscious right now that you would just use me in whatever way you need to in these next 20 odd minutes to fulfill your purpose that you have for tonight, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen. So I'm reading from the New King James Version. It says here in verse 1, Habakkuk says this, I will stand my watch and set myself on the rampart or the tower and watch to see what he will say to me and what I will answer when I'm corrected. Let me read that again. I will stand my watch and set myself on the rampart, on the tower, and watch to see what he will say to me and what I will answer when I'm corrected. So there's some things here about that Habakkuk, we can learn from just this verse about how we can hear from God. Because if we're going to talk about the waiting period, I want us all to be on the same page that we can actually, this is available to all of us, that God can and he does, he wants to speak to every single one of us, no exclusions in this room. Everybody in this room can hear from God. And Habakkuk gives us some keys here on how we can actually hear from God. So he's vented, he's ranted, he's expressed his frustrations, his annoyance, his need, his desire for the people of Israel. And then he decides to actually go, I need to hear what God's got to say about this. Have you got anything in your life right now that you need God's opinion on? Have you got stuff going on in your life? If you're sitting here tonight and you faced a problem, you haven't thought maybe I should find out what God's got to say about it, you're in the right place. Because if we're going to go to anyone, we should go to him. Matthew Henry's commentary on the whole Bible says this: those that expect to hear from God. Those that expect to hear from God. Does anyone want to hear from God? Yeah. Five of us. Okay. Like, we've got to be a church. We've got to be a people that are voice activated. Activated by his voice, instructing, guiding, leading us on what we are to do. And that's the kind of church that we have to be to impact our community, this city, and nations. Individually being a people that hear from God. He goes on to say, must withdraw from the world and get above it. Must raise their attention, fix their thought, study the scriptures, consult experiences and the experienced, continue instant in prayer, and thus set themselves upon the tower. So Matthew Henry's there saying that, you know, like, we've got to position ourselves to be able to hear God's voice. Habakkuk says here, I will stand my watch and set myself on the rampart. See, what I think he's actually saying here is that we need to position ourselves. We need to position ourselves. It's a choice to go to a specific space and place and stand firm in that place to position ourselves. Everyone say, position yourself. Turn the person next to you and say, are you positioned? You see, I make a decision to go to that place and space, and I will set myself, I will stand firm. I'm not going to be moved. I'm fixed, I'm focused, I'm set, I'm positioned for a purpose, and that purpose is that I want to hear the voice of God. I want to hear God's opinion. I want to hear God's direction. I want to hear what God's got to say about the matter. And I'm not moving until I meet with him, until you actually show me something, until you actually speak to me, until I see, until I hear something, until I have an encounter with your presence. And the thing is, no one can do this for you. No one can position you. We can be forced into a particular place, but God is asking us and he's inviting us to willingly, by our own volition, choose to position ourselves in a place that we can hear his voice. This is deeply spiritual, but it's deeply personal. No one can do this for us. It's our choice. You see, coming out of the series that we've just done, I wholeheartedly believe, and hopefully you get a sense, that God has got more for you. God has got more for you. He's not done with you yet. No disrespect to what you've been through. No disrespect to how successful or what an absolute failure it's been. God has got more for you. You know, some of us, I think, hold so tightly to the past, the good, the bad, the ugly, or whatever it is, that our hands are not open to receive the new thing that God wants to do in and through your life. I thank God for his grace. Like any of us in this room, if sin or if our wrongs or our failings were counted against us, we should not be standing and speaking the way that I am tonight. I shouldn't. But that's the beautiful thing about the grace of God. We have to let go. And this one thing I do, I press on towards the upward call that's in Christ Jesus. You see, positioning yourself, it's not about being in the right place at the right time. But it's about positioning yourself, because my understanding is that God is constantly wanting to speak. So when I position myself, God will be there, and suddenly it becomes the right place at the right time. But I choose that. That's something that I choose to do. So it's not like you're necessarily going to miss out on anything, because you can choose to position yourself in a place where God can speak to you, because he's always wanting to speak. And it becomes, I love that it becomes the right place at the right time. So I congratulate each of you here tonight that you've made a great choice, a great decision to position yourself here tonight. Because I would like to think that in this kind of context and space, that God wants to, does, believe he already has started to speak to people's hearts in this place. And that's what we want to have happen. Every time we get together in this place and we worship and we create and we let faith rise and we have expectancy and position ourselves, that that's the first step in God actually coming in and starting to do something supernatural and significant in our circumstance. But it doesn't stop there. So he says, I will stand my watch and set myself on the rampart. So he positions himself. But then the next verse, the next line of verse 1 continues. He says, and watch to see what he will say to me. So Habakkuk has positioned himself where he needs to be. But then he's actually saying that I will watch to see what he will say to me. Interesting words, isn't it? Because if you're watching to see, you're looking to see, not to hear. But what he's saying is that God does both. God shows and he speaks. If we're willing to see, he will show us, but he'll also speak to us that we can hear. But what this tells me of that Habakkuk's communicating here is that it's not just about being positioned, but it's about being present. It's about being present. And I love the fact right now that I've got a couple of people's attention, because you weren't present 10 seconds ago, but now you're present because I'm talking about being present. It's like when you say, you know what, it's good for everyone to smile, and people start to smile. So much better when you smile. See, positioning ourselves is the start, but we have to be present in the moment. And that is that he is watching to see what he, which means he's alert. He's kind of sensitive. He's listening. He's looking with intent. He's come to this place of positioning, but now he's actually going, I'm in the space, I've positioned myself, but now I actually need to be present in this moment. And when I talk about being present, it's kind of like an internal posture. Having that place where we're positioned, but the internal posture is that my heart is soft and it's open and it's ready for God to speak into my circumstance. Because quite often our external posture reflects what's going on the inside. It's like, what do you think this communicates? Boring, feet up, chilled, relaxed, bring me a pina colada, I don't know. But that's reflecting that more than likely there's not kind of like going to be a lot getting past like this one, the old, you know, sort of footy photo, sort of making your arms look bigger than what they really are. But in terms of like being positioned and being present for God to speak to us, being present in this moment right now is a choice that only you can make. Positioning yourself, you've chosen, you've decided to be here, you choose to put yourself in places and spaces where God can speak, but for you to be present in that moment is another choice that you need to make. And Habakkuk speaks to us here. No one can do this for you. Like, I mean, it's one thing to be positioned, but it's another thing to be present. Like this morning, I was hoping Nat would be in grommets, but anyway, she's here, so I've got to, I'm committed. Right? We're walking the dog this morning, I've got my coffee, and we're walking along, and we're positioned, right? We're walking with one another. And Nat starts to talk to me about something that's really important to her, so therefore it's important to me.
Yeah.
Yep. It was. So Nat started to talk, but out of the corner of my eye, I saw a sign on a door that said bottomless brunch on Sundays. And I'm gone squirrel. I've gone, my eyes are fixed on the sign. Nat's talking about something that's important to her, but I'm not present. My eyes are looking at you. See, we will go in the direction in which our eyes are fixed. What are your eyes fixed on? Are they fixed on the Word of God, or are they fixed on the circumstances and the situations you're going on? Because you'll head in the direction of which your eyes are fixed. And so Nat is talking to me about something that's important, but I'm not present. And it didn't end well. And neither should it have ended well, because she's in the room, and so and I had to apologize as I very much should. So you can be positioned, but you can not be present. Some of you are starting to engage now, because I'm talking about being present. So you can be here, but what's the point of being here if you're not present? I don't want to waste your time. I don't want to waste God's time. Because God wants to speak to you. And I can't force you to be present. Well, do a better job at preaching, mate. I might get a bit more present. Don't worry about what I'm saying. Open your heart to what God's trying to say to you. The majority of times that I hear God speak to me when preaching is going on, it's got very little to do with what the talking head up the front has got to say. It's the fact that I'm actually sitting and I'm present and I'm open. I'm saying, God, I need you to speak. I need a word from you. I need some direction. I need some peace. I need some wisdom about this. God, I need you. And then he goes, okay, that combination of position and being present is the perfect combination for God to speak. I remember another example of this, like when Ruby was like 2.5, 3, like, you know, Nat was at work and I had dad and daughter day, which was like my favorite day. I'm sitting there, we've got the little yellow plastic IKEA table and the little red chairs and stuff. And we're sitting down and we're just kind of crayons and drawing some Nemo stuff and sitting there and kind of Ruby, long ringlet hair, she's sitting there and she's just looking at me and she's still, and then suddenly she kind of like puts the crayon down. And then kind of like she just goes on two hands on the table. Dad, you're not here. And I'm going, yes, I am. I'm sitting right next to you. She goes, no, you're not here. And she was right. I was off doing God churchy pastor stuff and all that annoying stuff. And I should have been there present with my daughter. And at 2.5, 3, she called me on it. I've gone, Jesus, help me. If she's doing this at 3, what the heck is going to be? We can be positioned, but doesn't mean that we're present. Can I just ask you right now, are you present right now? Don't say that for me. Say that because you actually want to hear something from God. Before, like, we're going to wrap this up pretty quick. Because I'm believing that there are people in this room that God has been trying to speak to you, but you haven't positioned yourself, or if you've been positioned, you haven't been present to hear what he's been trying to say to you, and tonight's your night. So whether you believe that or not, too bad, I've got enough faith for you. I ain't letting you leave this place easy. It's too much at stake. You see, we've got to make that decision ourselves. Look, I don't know about you when it comes to, like, you know, this can be a daily occurrence of positioning and being present. I don't know about you, but for me to make these times work for me, I just write a list on my phone of stuff that's just churning around inside my head, all the distractions that are there. I write a list and it's like, God, I'm just casting all my cares on you because you care for me. And God says, son, I haven't called you to carry that. Give that to me. You're not supposed to be carrying that anyway. We have this little conversation before I start to kind of like really position and I start to get present in the moment. I'm trying to get rid of all those distractions and I go, his yoke is easy, his burden's light. So I hand that stuff over. I try to get rid of the distractions, make sure there's no sport on the TV, just make sure that my laptop's got no notifications come up, close that, just kind of like, for me, the worship thing works, so I just have the right worship music going so I can actually just get myself present in that moment. You just need to work out what works for you. Like, if you need to try a few different things, if it's walking the dog and praying, or if it's kind of like being chilled, whatever works for you, just find what works where you can be positioned and present for God to speak. And sometimes, you know, like, it's amazing, I don't know if you've ever noticed this, when you try to kind of like just get rid of all the distractions, you've written a list and that kind of stuff, and you, it's amazing what thoughts come into your mind when you try to get present with the Lord, to encounter his presence. Just the most random, weird thoughts just come in. And so but sometimes we just need to take authority over that stuff and just go, in Jesus' name, I just rebuke that stuff in Jesus' name. Because God is wanting to speak to you. The enemy doesn't want you hearing God's voice. He has the ability to plant seeds of doubt and thoughts into our mind to distract us from hearing God's voice. So he's the master manipulator at that, and especially about kind of things that he knows press our buttons, he'll just bring those thoughts into our mind. And sometimes it's about writing that down, but sometimes it's just don't tolerate it. It's almost like some people say there's a little angel on this side and there's a demon on this side, and it's like, you know, they're both yibby-yabbering around, and one's trying to distract and one's trying to encourage and stuff like that. Let me just remind her, it's a no contest. It's a no contest. We don't have to put up with that. And just getting yourself aside to that place, even when you come into church. I mean, there's some times where, like, if you knew what was going on inside my head when I'm standing down there on the front row, you just go, that's busy. Gee, there's a lot going on inside that noggin of yours, Phil. And there is. And sometimes I've just got to put it all aside. I'm just like, seriously? That really? And like, I'm just distracted from actually being present in this moment when God wants to meet. And so for me, sometimes I kind of like got to just talk to myself and just go, Phil, enough's enough, mate. We just take authority over that and say, Heavenly Father, we just declare your lordship. I declare that Jesus Christ is Lord of my mind and my heart. I thank you for the fruit of the spirit of self-control, that I don't have to actually allow those thoughts to have any space or place. Those things only have as much space in our lives as we allow them to have. We give that stuff permission. And when we break off, when we limit its position and permission in our lives, it becomes null and void. And so we can get into that place of being present. And that's why I know there are people in this room that we need our breakthrough moment in this service. We need it. There are people in this room, you need healing. There are people in this room that are brokenhearted. There are people that are dealing with significant success, and you need wisdom, you need peace, you need the joy of the Lord to be able to face the success that you've got to go back into in this next week. So for me, I stand, I just say, Heavenly Father, we need a breakthrough moment in this service. And more often than not, it comes when the guys are just worshiping. And there's just, for me, this might not be for you, but for me, it's just like, I just know something has broken open in this service. And I just go, right, now I know God's ready to kind of like just, and whether you feel it or not, I don't care. Because as far as I'm concerned, God's breaking through in this place and he's going to do stuff in your life. Are you positioned? You're here. But are you present? Yeah. So, as I said, I was at this festival and I felt that God was going to speak to me. And so on the Friday, we had, there was Kari Job and her husband, Cody Carnes, were doing a worship set. Then after that, Elevation Worship came on to do their worship set. And so I had the privilege of introducing and whatever those guys and stuff. But during Kari Job's worship set, I'm standing on side stage and I just began to worship. I don't care who's around. I don't care what's going on. I'm just like, God, I'm positioned, but I want to be present. Because I need to hear from you. And so kind of their set finished, and then the Elevation guys got up and they began to worship, and I just kind of got this sense God wants, and it was like God saying, Phil, I need you to come away with me. And so I went backstage and I said to the crew that kind of like that I was working with, the stage manager and blah blah blah, I said, hey guys, do you need me for do anything? And they just looked at me and go, you okay, Phil? I said, yeah, I'm fine. I just really get this sense God's wanting to speak to me. And they were just like, mate, do whatever you need to. So I kind of made my way out to the field with, you know, I don't know, 15, 20,000 people, whatever it is. And I'm just standing in the middle of the crowd, in the middle of the field. And as the guys began to worship, I just went, God, I'm positioned. And I just block out all the distractions. And I just want to be present in this moment to hear you speak. Hear you speak. And I need you. I'm hungry. I'm desperate. My spiritual senses are alert. I'm saying, God, I'm looking to see what it is that you want to say to me. And I'm standing in that field and kind of like kneeling and get back up. And I'm just going, God, I just need you to speak. And as I'm standing there, it's kind of like all of a sudden, as I just surrendered my hands and my heart is just fully turned towards the Lord, I'm just going, God, I need you so much. And then all of a sudden, it just like the blinders, those big kind of crowd blinders kind of came on. And I opened my eyes, but they weren't on. It's kind of like gone into the stage had gone dark, and they're just going into this chorus of a particular song that I love, and they just were going into this free worship stuff, and so I shut my eyes again, and I was kind of like, it was just super radiant bright, and I just kind of like just sensed God was like kind of reminding me of some things that I'd forgotten about, just some words that he'd spoken over my life, words of hope, words of future, words that were spoken over my life when I was young, and how they had already come to pass. He reminded me of stuff that he'd spoken into my life that wasn't yet come to pass, but he was just speaking life and breathing life into me. And I remember he kind of like took me back to one particular moment where I was actually asked to take over the Youth Alive organization. They'd be getting about 12,000 young people at Rod Laver Arena. And they'd actually asked for me to take that on. And in my prayer before the Lord, I just really sensed in God that what God was calling me to do in my leadership role within that organization was to take it from Rod Laver to what was then Etihad Stadium. So taking it from 12,000 and believing for 25,000 to 30,000 young people of high school age coming into a place to worship and to see souls saved and to see the kingdom of God extended. That's what God placed in my heart. To do that, you had to be an AOG pastor. The church that I was in at the time decided to change from being AOG to C3, which meant that the politics of it all, don't we love politics? Yeah, no. The abominations, I mean, denominations that they are. Jesus help me. So I had to withdraw my name for personal reasons and allow the process to take its course, which means I didn't get to actually take that leadership role on, because I felt, for Nat and I, that we felt called to the local church, not to a parachurch organization. And I wasn't willing to go against what God had sort of led us into in terms of our ministry position to pursue that. So I had to let it go. And so I remember at the next event, and I reckon April would have been 3 or 4 maybe, and I took her with me and I was holding her, and I went down onto the floor of, you know, 12,000 people at Rod Laver, and I stood in the middle of that arena and I just held April, and we were just there, and the presence of God just hit me, and I just had to say, with tears streaming down my face, I said, God, you've got to take the burden of this vision off of my heart. I can't carry this and not follow through on it. It's too much for me to carry. You've got to take this from me. And it was in that moment I just felt that, you know, God graciously, he did that, he took that. But you know, sometimes when you get stretched, it's hard to go back. And I'd been stretched in terms of believing of what God could do. And so as I'm standing in this field last Friday night, my hands raised, God took me back to that moment. And then he actually just sort of showed me a series of things that have transpired since that. And he showed me some of the people, some of the circumstances, some of the things that I would have actually been involved in had I taken that role on. And I began to see what God had actually saved me from. But what he began to do was to speak fresh faith and fresh fire and fresh life, as Michael spoke about last week. The breath of God just began to breathe into me to go, Phil, that bigness, I'm actually just expanding even more. As I can see that, like, what God has done and the hardship and the different things that we've had to go through to get us to this point, and I look out at you guys today that we have prayed for you before you even walked through the door, those of you that are part of our Compass family, I wouldn't trade this for the world. I'd go through that all over again, but as I stood in that field, I just like stand there and just felt the smile and the love of an amazing Heavenly Father that began to speak fresh and stir fresh vision and belief and dare to believe for even bigger. So church, look out. I'm just saying. Like, if you want to stay safe and contained and small, this ain't the place. I'm not talking about a big church, I'm talking about big people. I'm talking about you becoming you, positioning and you being present so you can hear from God and you go and transform your community, your workplace, your school, your university. I'm glad somebody's excited. You know, I believe that there are breakthrough moments for every single one of us when we gather together as a church. If we come in, you're physically here but being present in the moment. That's a choice that only you can make. And I know sometimes life sucks and it's hard and you fight with your partner on your way here and all hell breaks loose just to get to here. Why do you think that is? Because God wants to do something significant in your life. Maybe you guys never argue on the way to church. That's just us. That's why we drive separate cars to church. But anyway, you think I'm joking. I have said the dumbest things to my wife on the way to church. I'm just thinking, I'm such an idiot. Oh my gosh. Why do those words come out of my mouth when we're on our way to church and we're trying to be all Christian and pastor and stuff? So, okay, let's wrap this up let's just go straight there. If I can have the worship team up. Okay, this is where the call to action happens. I'm not going to hold back on this because I know that God is wanting to speak to, and he's already started to speak to people in this room. I can't do that for you. All we can do is create the opportunity for you to position and to be present. You're here, but are you present? Are you present? If you're present right now, okay, let's do it this way. This is... I haven't done this for a while. If you believe that God's already been speaking to you, as this message has been going, you position yourself, you're present, you know God is speaking to you. I'm just going to ask you to get up and walk out of your seat right now and just come and stand here. I'm asking you to actually position yourself specifically for God to actually really speak deeply into your situation. If that's you, I just want you to get up and walk out the front. I don't normally call people out. If God's already started to speak to you, and you're going to stand here, and I am just saying right now, be ready, the power of God's going to hit you. The power of God's just going to touch your heart. I was so excited this afternoon. I'm praying and I'm excited for people in this room. If you're just standing out here, can I just say that just an internal posture, your heart fully turned towards God, but just raise your hands towards heaven.
Thanks for listening to this podcast. We trust that you've enjoyed the message. For more podcasts, head to www.compasschurch.com.au.